It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, what is up? This is me, Ewan, from What Culture Gaming, joined as ever by Joshy John Brown.
Hello, Ewan.
Hey, it's nice you said hi. To talk to you today about a little new thing that we've got brewing here, and we don't have a name for it right now. It's very nebulous. It's sort of like a Comic Book Wednesday video game thing, because comic books come out on Wednesdays. I'm a big comic book fan, and there happens to be literally dozens upon dozens of comic book video games that have released over the past 40 years near enough. So we thought we'd basically do a series where I and another co-host, today that co-host being Josh Brown, basically just go through a comic book video game of the week and do it that way. Doesn't that sound lovely, Josh?
It does, it really does. And I think you've actually answered your question already, or at least solved your problem, Ewan. You mentioned brewing at the beginning of this, so I'm gonna pause it. what's brewing, Ewan? What's brewing with Ewan?
Oh my god. It rhymes.
$1 million idea, I'd say.
We just need to get the graphic design now, just me with a mug. It's just there. But yeah, today we're actually going to talk about a fan favorite Spider-Man game that is near and dear to both our hearts, and I'm sure many of our viewers and listeners as well. And that is Neversoft's 2000 Spider-Man, the video game, which is it's one of those games that I didn't actually own. And this is the thing. I had a Dreamcast. I mean, all my life, my excuses for not playing games from the PS1, like, N64 era has always been, I had a Dreamcast. They didn't release anything on the Dreamcast. And then I literally, as I was researching this video, Josh, it did release on the Dreamcast, but I didn't get it.
So you've been robbed of the first-hand experience then, or at least owning the first-hand experience.
Yeah, I never owned it, but I did go around to my friend's house to play it a lot, and it was really good. And I remember getting very excited, being like, oh my god, that's Stan Lee. And then and then literally all my other friends being like, who's Stan Lee? And I'm just like, you don't know who Stan Lee is. And that was basically the entire conversations they used to have.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when I was a kid, obviously, I was like your friends, wasn't entirely sure who Stan Lee was. I knew he was the man from the films, but
You saw him in the episode of Spider-Man the Animated Series when
That's exactly it. Yeah, it was Spider-Man the Animated Series. It was being a voiceover in this, in that it was being a cameo in the very early Marvel movie. So to me, like, Stan Lee's voice, as is the same with so many people around like the globe, like, Stan Lee's voice is so tied to my childhood and my formative years. I just can't get away from it, because this was one of the first games I at least remember playing. I know that Hercules in the PlayStation 1 was the very first game I played, but this, I at the very least, was like, you know, one of the first five games I properly got into and properly loved. So I used to play it obviously all the time, unlocked all of the 6 skins that were in there.
Oh,
amazing. More or less played it to death, and I managed fortunately to go back and actually go through it. I think it was last year. It was in time for me playing the DLC on Insomniac Spider-Man game. Yeah, so I've actually played it quite recently. And you know what? It still holds up. It's still really charming and fun and good.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where I don't think people realise just how influential it was. Like, loads of people will talk about, you know, Spider-Man 2 as being the game that, like, perfected the Spider-Man gaming formula or whatever. But this one laid down so many different foundations. Like you said, the alternate unlockable costumes, they had them in. That was, like, a thing that was in literally all Spider-Man games after the actual idea of the game. Pooling all of Marvel's characters into one. You know, Daredevil appears in this, Captain America appears in this, Punisher appears in this. And then, for the most part, pretty much every Spider-Man game afterwards has featured some sort of cameo from outside his immediate circle in the comics. And it's just one of those things where it really was such a passionate love letter to the comics and the 90s animated series as well. I completely missed this, Josh, but they actually took back loads of the cast from the 90s show. So you had Jennifer Hale reprising her role as Black Cat. You had Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., who voiced Alfred Pennyworth on Batman Animated Series. He voiced Dr. Octopus in the 90s show and also in this game. And yeah, it's just it's one of those things where I look back at this, and obviously there were good comic book video games before this, you know, your Turtles in Times, your X-Men arcades or whatever. But I do look at this one as being the definitive watershed moment in terms of where superhero games finally got really good, and not just good in terms of, like, you know, they were competent, but also in terms of they were at the forefront of the industry, pushing forward different genres and different things. And it's such a good, important game, and I feel as though the importance gets kind of understated when we talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're entirely spot on, and I think it's partly because of what you said there. You know, this is a love letter not just to Spider-Man, but the wider kind of Marvel universe as a whole. This was more or less one of my entry points into that wider kind of like superhero version. I mean, because you do have obviously the wider Spider-Man characters, but then you have people, like you said, outside of Spider-Man's circle, and they're all treated with respect. Obviously, like you said, they've got voices back from the animated series and stuff like that. And you can just feel in more or less every frame, from the writing to the narration to the way it's presented like a comic book, to even kind of like the transitions between scenes when it does the, like, the spider thing comes in and out. Like, it is absolutely dripping with love. But also, yeah, it's a game that does kind of hold up and is influential in terms of mechanics and gameplay as well. I was so surprised when I was researching it recently, because I did a video on Spider-Man's wall crawling, where I went far too in depth and kind of
go watch the video
a little bit. Yes, go watch it. So, what culture gaming? I kind of forgot how it had stealth sequences, or at least semi-stealth sequences. Before, that was kind of cool. You expect this game to just be a brawler or something like that. But you have elements when you're going in, utilizing Spider-Man's powers to get the drop on enemies, and that was so sick.
I'll tell you why I remember the stealth sequences. Is because as a child, I had a deep-rooted fear of stealth sequences burned into my brain from the Harry Potter movie video games, where like you'd lost everything when you got caught in those. And it was the same with, it was too much pressure. If I was brawling someone, I'd be like, I know what I'm doing. But if you got caught, that was it. It was gone. You made one mistake and it was bad.
Agree. Like, stressful times as a kid. The Harry Potter games, Chamber of Secrets especially, are more or less neuralized from my own brain, because that is home to so much childhood trauma. I don't know what it is about. In Spider-Man especially as well, I was scared, and we might get into this, Enter Electro, the sequel to this game.
Yeah, we'll talk
the
about
lizard
that.
Sequence in that was, I found, incredibly terrifying. And there is some kind of menace to the character designs in this game, like the goons. I remember the scorpion chase especially being terrifying, and especially the new symbiotes, the kind of...
Yes.
Well, they're just symbiotes without a host, essentially, but I remember those being incredibly scary for my 6-year-old brain or whatever.
Yeah, it's good because it came out in 2000, but it is essentially a 90s Spider-Man game. Yep. You know, it has all the hallmarks of a 90s Spider-Man story, whether it is the symbiotes or whether it's, you know, the voice cast going back. It also had like a rejigged version of the 60s show theme, I want to say. Like, again, it was just one of those things where we talk about how good Rocksteady were in terms of pooling together all these different interpretations of Batman to create their own definitive experience. But Neversoft were doing it back in 2000 with the engine for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, which again is kind of amazing to consider. And the other thing that I love about this game is it's the only Spider-Man game, as far as I'm aware, that's actually doing the web cartridges right. I love the idea of actually showing them, and mechanically, I think, in, you know, people will probably find them a little bit tedious if you were swinging through New York and you had the cliched, obviously in the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, Spidey would have like once every two episodes, he'd be swinging around normally, just monologuing to himself in his really intense style, and just go, "Ah, my webbing," and then he'd like fall, and it'd be really annoying as a kid. He's just like, "Oh my god, he's lost his webbing again. Just pack more, mate." But at the same time,
you never have enough.
But if at the same time, if I'm playing a Spider-Man game, even if it was just a case of seeing him manually reload his web shooters to put like a cartridge in, that little detail would add something to it. And you know, the actual Neversoft did that, and all the other studios have really kind of shirked away from it in a way.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention it, because that was actually an element when I was playing it when I was younger that I really didn't like. I just wanted the freedom to be able to swing to wherever, use as much webbing as possible. And as a result, I'd always swap to the symbiote suit so I could do that. But like, I now have such an appreciation for that, because like you said, not only is it a cool part of the character that's often kind of not done very well, but also it makes you actually think about the combat, because you can only use web attacks so many times before you run out or have to find more cartridges. It makes you think about which ones you're using. And I think like the webbing abilities in general, they get really well, even if they are quite daft. I don't know why I need webbed boxing gloves. I don't know how that makes my fists harder, but I'm here for it.
I remember that because we'll talk probably a topic for another time, but I know the Treyarch 2002 Spider-Man movie game had a lot of carryover from this one, and you had the web gloves, and I was like, eh, I'm just wrapping them up. That's surely that's just giving them a little bit more of like a, you know, like a cushion or whatever.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I know Spider-Man pulls his punches, but you can't have both. You can't put your punches and also. I suppose maybe the weapon's a breath.
Heavy? Maybe it's very heavy. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the weight of the... Maybe it's like you're smashing them with a bunch of Spidey weights. I don't know.
Well, that's like an ability from other Spidey games. Like you make like a big hammer, don't you? And sort of like bring it down or something like that.
Yeah, shattered dimensions.
Maybe that's what he's doing to his fist and just sort of swinging around like a battering ram.
Like that's another point though, because all the web abilities in this game have been copied.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
To a relative, you know, extent in pretty much every single Spider-Man video game afterwards. And that's like, that's another thing that's really interesting. This is the thing that, again, this was Activision's first Spider-Man game. They had the license from 2000 with Marvel from 2000 to 2014. And I can't think, we're still living in that Activision-y Spider-Man era, not to like take away anything from, you know, Insomniac's vision for, you know, the other year's Spider-Man game. I think it's the best combat video game ever, and in so many different ways, you know, they've put so much of their own identity into that game. But in terms of Spider-Man in the gaming medium, I think it's impossible to separate it from these Activision titles, especially this one, then also Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially for people our age who definitely grew up with them. You know what I mean? Like you said, we've had 14 years with so many different games. It's not like a Spider-Man game came out every 4 years. It was like an annualized release for a long time. So we've had so many good ones, so many bad ones. And for a lot of people, this is the thing that kind of kicked it off. And considering how bad some of the releases got, this is such a kind of confident first step. And you mentioned Neversoft, obviously the developers who had worked on the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series. And it's easy to kind of say, like, that's a bit weird. Why is the skateboarding team doing Spider-Man? But, like, you got to remember, those guys were, like, so talented. Like, those Tony Hawk's games are so finely tuned, so mechanically satisfying. And that was brought over to Spider-Man. And like you said, it has kind of, like, set a lot of the foundations that so many Spider-Man games in that 14-year period built off of. Obviously, a lot of them were way more technologically advanced, but the general ideas and the general feel and the general flow of combat surprisingly remained the same. You mentioned the movie game there. You're like, yeah, that is, even though it's a movie adaptation, it's more or less a straight sequel to this game.
I have so many happy memories of that movie game. It's ridiculous. I especially remember the Kraven the Hunter segment stressing me out because I thought that movie game was great. I really liked that movie game. Everyone was there, like, growing up, like, oh, movie games are really bad. It's like, did you never play Spider-Man 2002, the movie video game? It was great. It's fantastic.
I've still got it. It's really hard. You mentioned villains there, though, and I think that's also part of what makes this initial run so great, because you've got such a great rogues gallery. You've got, like, Rhino in there, Mysterio in there, Venom, obviously, as a reluctant hero and sidekick to Spider-Man.
It was very funny going through this and actually looking at his motivation for regaining the symbiote. It's like, you ruined my pictures. That's like me, like, taking a selfie and, like, Spider-Man swinging by and photobombing it, and me just going, now my life's mission is to kill Spider-Man. I love how petty it is.
Venom in this game is so funny. There's a bit where he turns up on, like, a billboard and Mary Jane, and he's just kind of taking the mic out of Spider-Man, obviously. But like you mentioned, like, even though it came out in 2000, it's very much a kind of 90s Spider-Man thing. The amount of times Venom says the word dude across this game and makes dude jokes is ridiculous. It's not at all the scary version of the character. He's cracking wise, he's having a laugh, and when they team up, it's such a genuinely charming and genuinely funny game, and that's best kind of reflected in that dynamic. But I always remember there's a post-credit scene where all of the villains are in jail. I'm pretty sure it's just the entirety of the Sinister Six, and they're playing cards, and the banter between them is genuinely funny. Even going back to playing it, I laugh probably more now than I did as a kid, because it's so, for such a kind of not necessarily story-heavy game, it's well-written, it is so well-observed.
I'm going to look up who actually wrote it, because I think that's a very interesting point. Because, yeah, the story is fantastic. I put down in my notes that it was quite a Silver Age-y game, and in a way that's interesting, because obviously Sam Raimi was working on his Spider-Man film at that point, and that takes a lot from, you know, people talk about those films as being campy or cringy or whatever, and they completely miss the point, because the whole point of those films is it's like a callback to the original Stan Lee, Steve Ditko, John Romita, whoever comics from the 60s, and they kind of transplant that tone very well. And, you know, we did say that this is quite, you know, 90s-ish in a way, but it also, again, it takes different interpretations and goes from there. I actually can't find who wrote this, which is annoying. If anyone knows who wrote Spider-Man 2002, the video game, can you please tell me who it is? Because I want to know, because it's a very good story. I think it's very fun. It's very accessible for younger audiences.
Yeah.
And obviously in our nostalgia chasing world, it is amazing as well. But again, you played it the other year and you said it really holds up. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like the kind of weird things they do as well. Like, it does make sense for all of these villains to be working together, because they would never ever, like, team up in this way. And yet it pulls it off in that kind of, like you said, like that daft kind of Silver Age sort of way. And it builds to this climax with the symbiotes, because I'm sure this is going to be a running theme every time we're on talking about Spider-Man games. It's always about the symbiotes, but they do it well in here. Well, they do it well here. They do it in an interesting way, and they make for that absolute abomination that is Monster Ock right at the end of the game. We're talking about Nightmare Fuel from PlayStation 1 games, that absolute bad lad chasing you through the exploding underground lab. Horrible.
I can't believe that I've just forgotten that Web of Shadows basically stole its symbiotization story from this as well. That's bad. And I think that game's quite underrated. But, like, it's another example of how influential this title was. Obviously, the symbiote has taken over, like, a bunch of different characters in the comics before, but certainly in terms of, you know, the realm of video games, it was popularized here. I was going to ask Josh, because I never played the sequels. What did you play any of them?
I did. I played Enter Electro quite a lot, actually, when I was little. And to be honest, I think it gets a bad rap because I'm pretty sure it was a different developer. And you can sort of tell that the same charm that was pulsing throughout the veins of the first game isn't quite there. But at the same time, it's still solid. I mean, it still uses the same gameplay kind of elements. And it actually lets you build your own suit. It lets you choose one of the suits. You can't alter it or customize it, but you can customize the powers. So you can swap different powers from different suits into one that you like, which made kind of playing through the game again so satisfying.
That's something that's in Spider-Man 2018 as well. That's something that they do with the... again, another example of kind of where this series was like really surprisingly influential. One of my most requested features of any superhero video game, whether it's, well, specifically Batman and Spider-Man, really, is the ability to make your own suit and customize it from the ground up and design it. I think that would be amazing. But I don't know if there's any kind of copyright issues you might have in terms of doing that. Injustice Gods Among Injustice 2 did it very well. So if Injustice can do it, then why can't Spidey and Batman?
That's a great example, actually. Yeah, that game did that so well. And it's weird. I know we talked about this so much. I remember in the run-up to Insomniac Spider-Man, you mentioned that. And it's such a... I think it's just such an open goal, especially when you've already had a version of it in this really old game to sequel to this really old game. Like, there's so much scope there to personalize your Spider-Man. Like, you already get that in the amount of like officially licensed suits and stuff, but being able to go in and properly tinker with it in an era where we've got so many military games where we can tinker with our soldiers and our weapons and stuff like that, being able to create your own superhero suit from perhaps different parts or whatever with their own gadgets. Like, I just want a game where I can spend 5 hours messing around with my web shooters. I just want to make them as pristine and as elegant as possible.
I'm trying to remember. I mean, Red Dead does that great thing where you bring up your gun and you customize it that way. And I think Crysis had a similar system where you bring up your gun and you alter the attachments. It'd be great if you could do that. And then Spidey's got like a little soldering iron and he's just like messing with his web shooters or whatever. And like, I don't know, all sorts of different, kind of going on a massive tangent now, but I'd love a thing where like you could choose your own symbol, the color scheme, whether your web cartridges are on the outside or the inside or whatever.
Dude, like, honestly, like, if I had a game when we were younger that could let you change the shape or style of the actual spiders on the suit, like you mentioned there, I would have lost my mind at that, because that used to be such a point of contention for a young Spider-Man fan in Josh. I remember getting a bit too old, or at least what I thought was a bit too old, to play this PlayStation 1 game when the movies came around, and I wanted the Sam Raimi suit. I wanted the kind of the spikier spider on the back and stuff like that, but I was never... Obviously, you couldn't change it in that way, but yeah, there is so much to pull from that a suit-building thing, like I said, just seems like a no-brainer and something that would be so satisfying to see what other people could come up with.
Well, I know we talked about how this game is very influential, but it seems as though this series still has a lot to teach us about newer Spider-Man games. So that's a pretty cool detail in and of itself. I think we'll probably wrap it up now because we're approaching 20 minutes. But yeah, please let us know what you think of Neversoft's Spider-Man game down in the comments below, and also the other entries in that series. And then once you've done that, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And also to reach out to us and let us know what comic book video game you'd like us to talk about next. I've got all sorts of different ones in mind, but if you have a particular favorite, let us know and we'll do our best to cover it. Remember, you can find more stuff like this at whatculture.com/gaming, and you can follow me on Twitter at YoungRunesThing. So you can follow Josh on Twitter at
Josh Brune with two O's,
and we will see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.